And of the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Just very quickly and briefly, I would like to focus just on the words of the Samaritan woman when she said to the Lord, "Give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw again." We all understand this idea of thirst, don't we? We've all been thirsty. After exercise, for example, after fasting for a whole day up until 12 o'clock or 3 o'clock, after being in the park outside or going to Great Adventure, we have this thirst. And the Samaritan woman knew this. It was a part of her life where she would take her water pot, go to the well, so that she can quench the earthly or the physical thirst. But the Lord, the way He answered her and the way He spoke to her, He was trying to redirect her mind and her thoughts, right? Not to the physical thirst, but to the spiritual thirst. The spiritual thirst. And very quickly, three types of souls or three types of spiritual thirst. The first is the soul that is empty. The soul that has nothing. The soul that has no knowledge of God. The soul that may be an unbeliever, maybe even a believer, who does not know God. Who only knows God just by a name. And this person, this soul, this thirsty or empty soul, is thirsting for the things of the world. Okay? Thirsting for what gives temporary pleasure. Money, power, pride, riches, homes, jobs, anything that you can think of. And this person, as St. Paul is saying, fulfills the desires of the flesh and of the mind. The flesh and of what? The mind. Okay? And one saint was like that. We spoke about this saint last week. It was St. Augustine. And he spent his life, before he knew Christ, fulfilling the lust of the flesh and the lust of the mind. Okay, the lust of the flesh, he had an illegitimate son. The lust of the mind, he was into all of these very strange philosophies and teachings of his day. And you know what he said after he knew Christ? You know what he said? He said that God has made us for Himself. And our hearts are empty and restless until they find their rest in God. This is the empty soul. Thirsting and searching, but not able to find anything with which to quench its thirst. And isn't this exactly what King Solomon did? Didn't he say to us many things? If you think about it with me, this empty soul searches for the things under the sun in the sky. Whereas we should be searching for the one who is above the sun in the sky. What did King Solomon say to us? He tried everything. He said, in Ecclesiastes, I tried cheering myself with wine, drinking, in other words, and embracing folly, and my mind still guiding me. And I wanted to see what was worthwhile for men to do under heaven the few days of their life. But he found out that didn't work. So he tried something else. He said he tried wealth. He said, I bought male and female slaves, and had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned many herds, many flocks, than anyone else before me in Jerusalem. I amassed silver and gold for myself, and the treasure of all the kings and all the provinces of the world. I acquired men and women singers, and a harem as well, the delights of the heart of man. But he found out that was not satisfying. He said even, I denied myself nothing. I denied myself nothing my eyes looked upon. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all of my work, and this was the reward of all my labor. What did he say? Again, we're talking about the empty soul, the one that thirsts for the world. He says, all is vanity and grasping for the air. Can you grab the air in front of you right now? No one can. You can't chase the wind. This is what he's saying. All is vanity, like grasping for the air. And then he finally found, and he said, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion, he says, of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. What can make a soul dry? The second type of soul is the dry soul. So first we have the empty soul, right? And second we have what? Dry soul, okay? What can make a soul dry? A soul that is dry is a soul that has tasted of the living waters, but then goes back to the world. And what can make the soul more dry is that we neglect the fountain of God. We neglect where the living waters come from. It's also what makes a person discouraged. Sometimes we feel that God is not with us. Isn't that true? We feel that God has abandoned us in our problems. But let me ask you a quick question. When the sun goes behind a cloud in the sky, is it gone? It's not gone. It's there. There's just a cloud in front of it. This is one of the major things that makes the person's soul dry. Is when a cloud in my life comes in front of the rays or the sun of God, the grace of God, the gifts of God, then I think to myself, oh, He's left me. So I'm going to quickly then turn to the earthly things again. Remember what the Lord said. He promised us many times, I am with you always, even unto the end of time. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what? I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. These things we have to remember. So the first type is the empty soul. The second type is the what? Dry soul. The third type is the satisfied soul. The satisfied soul. The soul that has tasted the living water. The soul that is immersed in God. The soul that hungers for nothing else and looks for nothing else except that which is from God. Let's say I don't have a satisfied soul. How can I get this satisfied soul? How can I say with David the psalmist, remember David, he's writing his psalms, he says what? As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. As the deer pants for the water, the deer is thirsty, so also my soul longs after you, O God. How can I do this? How can I start thirsting for God? The first point is we have to remember what the Lord said. He said in John 7:37, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and what? Drink. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and what? Drink. So first we must go to the Lord. If I want to be satisfied, if I want to be watered with that living water, I need to go to the Lord. Where and how? Through His Word. Not just reading it. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. No. It's just like, see, there's a difference between reading the Word of God and meditating on the Word of God. Reading the Word of God without any meaning is just like water that goes through a pipe really quick. But meditating is like You take the piece of food, you put it in your mouth, you chew. How many times did they say, the doctors say we have to chew? 20-some, 30-some times. You chew the Word of God. You taste the Word of God. How can I do that? First, maybe when I'm reading, pick a verse that stands out. Okay? Pick a verse that stands out. Memorize it. Then repeat it. And then use it to speak to God. Let's say you're memorizing the first psalm in the 12th hour of the Igbayah. It says what? Min al-a'maq ya Rabb sarakh. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. So you say, you use those words. You say, out of the depths have I cried to you. If I'm in a problem, I use those words and I say, out of the depths have I cried to you, O Lord. Personalize the passage to you. This is what? These are the things that we can do to meditate. Personalize the passage. For example, when the Lord Jesus Christ called Peter, said, Simon Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Take out St. Simon Peter's name and put my name in. Put your name in. And ask yourself, Abuna, do you love God? Personalize it. Meditate on the Word of God. Think of all of the things that happen in the Gospel and put yourself in there. Put yourself in the place of the apostles when they were in the boat and the storm was very great. And the Lord was what? Sleeping where? In the boat on a... Huh? On a pillow. On a pillow. And so they say the storm was too great. They ran downstairs. Do you not care that we perish, Lord? Don't you care that we're going to die? So I imagine perhaps he didn't say anything. The gospel didn't say that he said anything. And what did he do? He just went up. He quieted the storm. He said, peace be still. And then he said, he looked at them and he said, oh, you of little faith, why are you afraid? So take that part, for example, if I don't have faith in my life, remember that. The Lord is telling me, oh, you of little faith, why are you afraid? This is how we can meditate on the Word. This is how we can thirst for the Word of God. Remember the verse, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. May the Lord give us truly this thirst for His Word, for His eternal life, and glory be to God forever. Amen.